All right, it's finally Big Ten week. Let's get it. Going to be a fun, going to be a good week. Here we go.
56-yarder. It's got, no, does not have the leg. And Chris Davis takes it in the back of the end zone. He'll run it out to the 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 45. There goes Davis. Oh, my God.
All right, I'm going to start off with the poll question this week because I've neglected to put it in the last like 5 weeks or so. So that's really, really cool. Question this week on the Armchair U Twitter account at Armchair U was most approved this season. Your options were Alex Hornibrook, Shea Patterson, or Brian Lewerke. And to no surprise at all, Alex Hornibrook came in with 80% of the vote. Shea Patterson at second place with 20% of the vote, and Brian Lewerke with zero votes, and which is 0%. So I'd say I agree with that. I think that the two or three people that put Shea Patterson are going to be correct. I mean, in my opinion, I didn't vote. I probably should have maybe even out the numbers a little more, but. To be honest, Shea Patterson played like seven games last year at Ole Miss before getting hurt, and he lit it up. But I mean, now he's going to step into a pro style offense at Michigan, and I don't know if he wants to. I believe he's a junior this year, right? Redshirt junior. Yep, redshirt junior. So if his dream is to play in the NFL and his goal is playing the NFL, he needs to step into a pro system and start proving this year that he can play in a pro style system because basically all the NFL is a pro style system. So starting off this week's Big Ten team preview at Purdue University in West Lafayette, Indiana. It's Jeff Brohm's second year. Boiler up. I'm pretty confident in Jeff Brohm. I think he's done some good things, made some good strides at Purdue. And I really think he can make Purdue football average again, given the right amount of time, obviously. First and goal, running backs. The Boilermakers have the most depth at the running back position with Markell Jones, Tario Fuller, DJ Knox, and Rishi Worship, all providing their own personal twist to the backfield. Fourth and long, the defense. Defensive coordinator Nick Holt did a tremendous job last season in his first year at Purdue, taking them from the 117th best team in scoring defense to 24th in 2017. However, Coach Holt, that's Holt, not Holtz, two different people, Coach Holt will be tasked with replacing eight players who had significant roles last season. I think if he does that somewhat successfully, the Boilermakers should have a successful season by Purdue standards at least. Getting right into the schedule, I got wins over Eastern Michigan, Illinois, Iowa, and Minnesota. I got losses against Northwestern, Missouri, Boston College, Nebraska, Ohio State, Michigan State, Wisconsin, and Indiana to close out the year. It's going to bring the Boilermakers to 3-6 in the Big Ten and 4-8 overall. Next, we'll head west to the University of Illinois. Urbana-Champaign. No preface other than the fact that they need to turn it around. Lovie Smith needs to turn it the heck around real quick. First and goal, Chase McLaughlin. Just honestly, great name. Great name for a kicker as well. The kicker for the Fighting Illini made 12 of 17 field goals last season and did not miss an attempt of under 40 yards or less. So, if you're going for the shutout, you're going to want to keep the Illini from getting across your 40, it seems. Fourth and long, the offense. Oh, gosh. The Fighting Illini in 2017 had arguably the worst offense in the country. And don't look a whole lot better this season. The Illini had only one scholarship player at quarterback this spring in the form of sophomore Cam Thomas. Last season at quarterback for the Illini, Thomas threw the same number of touchdown passes as I did. Zero in four games to go along with five interceptions. The Illini haven't had a 1,000-yard rusher since 2010. Last season, the returning tailbacks combined for under 800 yards. Mike Epstein, Ravon Bonner, Reggie Corbin lead the charge this season at running back, and while I don't expect anything special out of them, I do wish them the best of luck because they're going to need it down in Champaign. The offense as a whole are expected to start four upperclassmen, all seniors, and the rest is sophomores. Really should be interesting. It should be an interesting and a very long year for Illini fans. Schedule-wise, wins over Kent State, the Golden Flashes, the Leathernecks of, I think, Leathernecks, Western Illinois. Yep. Anyway, that's going to be their only two wins, to be honest. I'd love to see Illinois against, like, Kansas or something. I think that'd be a really good game. Losses against Southern Florida, Penn State, Rutgers, Purdue, Wisconsin, Maryland, Minnesota, Nebraska, Iowa, Northwestern. 0-9 in the Big Ten, 2-10 overall. Next, we'll head out east, New Brunswick, New Jersey. Rutgers University, first and goal, the running game. Scarlet Knights return three offensive linemen, an NFL prospect tight end, and star running back Raheem Blackshear from last season. Expect the running game to be a big part of the offense this season, partially because they can't throw the ball as well. Fourth and long, the back half of the schedule for the Scarlet Knights just does not look like a lot of fun if you're a fan of the Rutgers Scarlet Knights. I think the Scarlet Knights can find themselves bowl eligible this season. I think they can do it, but they're going to need to secure that within the first seven games of the season, because the back five for the Scarlet Knights is just not going to be a good time, because that's just incredibly tough with starting with Northwestern. And then you got Wisconsin, and then Michigan, and then Penn State, and then ending the year with Michigan State, who could be in a Big Ten title run. I don't expect that game to be anywhere close. Those back five games are going to be rough. So, really hope the Scarlet Knights get those seven wins in the first, or the six wins the first 7 weeks there. Yeah, back five are not going to be fun for the boys. Oh, geez. Schedule-wise, wins over Texas State, Kansas, Buffalo, and Illinois. Losses against Ohio State, Indiana, Maryland, Northwestern, Wisconsin, Michigan, Penn State, and Michigan State. Brings the Scarlet Knights. I think I just like saying Scarlet Knights. It's a pretty cool mascot, pretty cool nickname. Brings the Scarlet Knights to 1-8 in the Big Ten and 4-8 overall. Next, we'll head back west and up north. Minneapolis, Minnesota, home to the University of Minnesota Twin Cities, and my personal favorite head football coach in all any level of college football, PJ Fleck. Row the freaking boat, you guys. I'm huge on PJ Fleck. I really like the work that he did at Western Michigan, and I'd be even more excited if he didn't go to Minnesota, because it's just not the easiest place to coach, in my opinion. Because I mean, you think you're going to get the guys, and you just don't get the guys. I love this guy as a coach. The energy he brings to the program is just something that hasn't been there forever, he's bringing Minnesota back to above 500, hopefully. But, I mean, energy doesn't win football games. So we'll see how it plays out for him this year. First and goal, Rodney Smith and Tyler Johnson on the offensive side of the ball. Running back Rodney Smith enters the 2018 season 1,260 all-purpose yards away from breaking the school record. It'll be a stable option for Flex squad out of the backfield this season. And you got Tyler Johnson out on the wings. Tyler Johnson led the Gophers in all receiving categories last season, but he cannot carry the workload all by himself. Hope he gets some guys around him. Look for big years from these two this season, and really hopefully the Gophers can have big years out of literally anyone else. Fourth and goal. Every somewhat decent team starts with a good quarterback, and that is something the Golden Gophers have lacked since, like, Adam Weber back in, like, 2008. I don't even remember that. I had to look up the last time they had, like, a decent quarterback. Unfortunately for the Fighting Flex, let's get that going, by the way. I'll call them the Fighting Flex instead of, like, the Golden Gophers. It just sounds more fun. The situation doesn't appear to be a whole lot better in 2018. Redshirt freshman Tanner Morgan is the expected starter, and he has literally no stats available because he hasn't even taken a snap yet. I'm not saying Morgan will be bad, and in fact, I believe if he plays four seasons under Fleck, he has the potential to be a Walmart brand Joel Stabe. However, this season, the expectations for him and really the whole program should honestly be lower than low. Not like Illinois low, but like Iowa, kind of, I think is who I got him kind of paired up with in terms of expectations for the season. Schedule-wise, wins over New Mexico State, Fresno State, Miami of Ohio, Indiana, and Illinois. Losses against Maryland, Iowa, Ohio State, Nebraska, Purdue, Northwestern, and Wisconsin. This is probably like the fifth year in a row, at least, that Wisconsin retains the axe. So, yep. 2-7 in the Big Ten, 5-7 overall, but definitely row the boat. Next, we'll go back out east. College Park, Maryland, University of Maryland. And a lot of stuff going on over there. All of it pretty much bad, unfortunately. Rest in peace, Jordan McNair. Never met him. Probably would have been really cool to meet. And unfortunately, his life was ended too soon back in June. So, rest in peace. Condolences to him and his family and everybody that's been affected by his loss. Back to football. First and goal. The Terrapins offensive line. First of all, before I get into that, sidebar, the Terrapin is an awesome mascot. That's got to be like top three mascots ever. Like, it's not a turtle, it's a Terrapin. That is an awesome mascot. I used to play with them all the time on like NCAA football, like 14, like the mascot mashup or whatever. Those are my guys, and the Stanford Cardinal. Those trees could play, let me tell you. Yes, anyway, back to football. Back on track here. Offensive line at Maryland. They return all five starting offensive linemen who are bigger, faster, and all around better than last season. Look for some really good things out of the line out of College Park this season. Fourth and long. And this is where I got to get serious, apparently. D.J. Durkin is Maryland's head football coach as of 3:32 Central Standard Time on Wednesday. August 22nd. As of 3:33 now on Wednesday, August 22nd, 2018, D.J. Durkin is the head football coach of Maryland. And he's currently on administrative leave as of last Saturday. Amid a university investigation into Jordan McNair's death. Since then, and even the days since the death of number 79, the whole situation has been a distraction. And the head of the distraction, in my opinion, is, first of all, the training or the strength and conditioning coach who let this go on, and the head guy of the whole program, and that's D.J. Durkin. I don't personally know what he knew or what he didn't know about the situation that occurred. The story I'm hearing is that he was on the field at that time at practice that day. And so, and it whether he was or wasn't, I don't know. But I honestly believe the first step in the right direction is to relieve Coach DJ Durkin of his duties as head coach of the Maryland Terrapins. I honestly believe the faster you remove the toxic culture that was present under Durkin that caused this whole incident, the better. And the better the culture is going to improve in College Park. Schedule-wise, wins over Bowling Green, State University, Temple, Rutgers, Illinois. Losses against Texas opening week. That's a really tough game. They're at home against Texas. Well, either way, it's not an easy first week. But props to the boys for scheduling some tough non-conference. Losses to Michigan as well. Iowa, Michigan State, Indiana, Ohio State, Penn State. 3-6 in the Big Ten, 5-7 overall. Next, we'll head back towards the Midwest, towards the Great Lakes region, to the Chicago suburb of Evanston, Illinois, and Northwestern University. Just to preface, honestly, right now, as a fan of a particular Big Ten West team based out of Madison, Wisconsin, or Madison State. I can't tell you which state, even though you all know. There's something just dangerous about going to Northwestern. And in that, I'm saying that Northwestern is right up there with like Iowa in terms of like teams that I am scared of in the Big Ten West. And that's really not saying much because the Badgers are really, really, really good this year again. So whatever. But there's something just scary about that 11 a.m. Or 11 a.m. or 2:30 game like at Northwestern, because they never, ever get the night game, because why would they? They're Northwestern. There's just something scary about going down to Evanston and playing with a crowd of basically a high school level size crowd that they draw down in Evanston. It just the 11 a.m. 2:30 p.m. Saturday scaries as a fan of an opposing team, and really isn't a team you should take lightly that week. First and goal, Patty Fisher, red shirt sophomore linebacker. Patty Fisher comes into 2018 more than ready to build upon his team-leading 113 tackles as a freshman. Look for Fisher to be the main focus of the Wildcats defense. Fourth and long, Clayton Thorson. Wow, he sounds like he's from like Southern California or something. Holy cow, what's he doing at Northwestern? Oh my. Yes, Cats quarterback Clayton Thorson. When on, can be very good for the Cats. But I, along with the rest of Cats Nation, have yet to see a consistently good Clayton Thorson. Additionally, this season, Thorson is coming off an ACL injury that he suffered in December in the Music City Bowl. Thorson is expected to be back for the season opener. However, there's no guarantee he'll be 100%. I mean, that's something like 9 months, 8 months from ACL surgery. So we'll see. And even when he is at 100%, he did throw 12 interceptions last year, which the quarterback play's got to improve. And I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if it does, coming off an injury and with a somewhat tough schedule as well. Schedule-wise, wins over Purdue-Duke-Akron. Why does Akron still have a football team? They just get beat up by everybody. Anyway, Purdue-Duke-Akron, Nebraska, Rutgers, Iowa, Minnesota, Illinois. Losses against Michigan, Michigan State, Wisconsin, and Notre Dame. 6-3 in conference for the Cats, 8-4 overall. They're going bowling. Next, we'll head directly west to Iowa City, Iowa, the lesser of the two Iowa a big Iowa Division I schools. Go Cyclones. First and goal, Noah Fant. I believe I'm pronouncing that right. Junior Noah Fant is one of the best tight ends in the country and looks to build on his school record 11 touchdown receptions from a year ago. Look for big things from 6'5 matchup nightmare Noah Fant this season. Fourth and long. Defense. Linebackers specifically. Defensive coordinator Phil Parker will be tasked with replacing all three starting linebackers from last season, including All-American Josie Jewell. To add to this, the players in line to play linebacker for the Hawkeyes this season have no experience at all, with the exception of a few players on special teams, which is not where they'll be playing this season. Should be interesting to see how the Hawkeyes season plays out on the defense side of the ball. Schedule-wise, wins over Northern Illinois, Northern Iowa, Minnesota, Indiana, Maryland, Purdue, and Illinois. Losses against Iowa State, Wisconsin, Penn State, Northwestern, Nebraska. 5-4 in the Big Ten, 7-5 overall. Next, we'll head to Bloomington, Indiana, home of Indiana University. It's kind of odd that it's not University of Indiana, but I'll just let that slide for now. It's not relevant. First and goal, special teams. Hoosiers head coach Tom Allen strongly believes he needs elite special teams to win football games this fall, along with like everything else you need, like good quarterback play, weapons offensively and defensively. Anyway, but he does need elite special teams. So much so, they went all out and signed the number 9 ranked place kicker in the class of 2018, Charles Campbell. The Hoosiers also possess another weapon on special teams in the form of redshirt sophomore Australian punter Hayden Whitehead, who earned honorable mention all-conference honors last season. Fourth and long. As I said earlier, you need quarterback play. And strong quarterback play is something that Indiana has struggled with for as long as I can remember, and then some. The struggles will most likely continue this season as Peyton Ramsey takes the reins coming off knee surgery. Ramsey is expected to start for IU. However, he is coming off knee surgery, which raises a bunch of question marks for me in terms of his ability to perform at an above-average level like the Hoosiers will need him to. Ramsey also lacks arm strength, similar to myself, which can potentially pave the way for graduate transfer Brandon Dawkins from Arizona to step in if he can't live up to the expectations of Coach Allen and Hoosier Nation. Schedule-wise, wins over Florida International, Virginia, Ball State, Rutgers, Maryland, and Purdue. Losses against Michigan State, Ohio State, Iowa, Penn State, Minnesota, and Michigan. 3-3 in the Big Ten, 6-6 overall. Average year for the Hoosiers. Next, we'll head to the outlier, Nebraska. Lincoln, Nebraska. And ladies and gentlemen, there's a frost warning in effect in the Big Ten West. You've been warned. You've been warned right now. Nebraska might win 8 games this year. Just might. First and goal. New head coach Scott Frost. Scott Frost comes into Lincoln fresh off a national championship season at Central Florida in hopes of restoring his alma mater to its former glory. This is a great find for Husker Nation, and I believe he can right the Nebraska ship if given the proper amount of time. Fourth and long, quarterbacks. Having Scott Frost and everything is great for the Cornhuskers. However, he needs some guys to work with, and unfortunately, he doesn't really seem to have the guys this season at quarterback. True freshman Adrian Martinez is pegged as the starter in Frost's spread system, and I think he can do a decent job this season. However, most likely not a great job. He just simply lacks the experience at the college level. to do a great job as quarterback of the Nebraska Cornhuskers. I think Frost and Martinez will pair very well in Lincoln for the next 3 years after this season, and you know they could get to there maybe 10 wins given time here. Frost has done it before. Frost did it last year at UCF, so we'll see. Schedule wise, wins over Akron, Colorado, Troy, Purdue, Minnesota, Illinois, Iowa. Loss against Michigan, Wisconsin, Northwestern, Ohio State, and Michigan State. That's not a great out of division schedule for the Cornhuskers. Well, good luck to them. 4-5 in the Big Ten, 7-5. Hope. Next, we'll head over to University Park, Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania State University. Just to preface, James Franklin is a really, really good college football coach. Just thought I'd get that out of the way here quick. Trace McSorley, first and goal. Trace McSorley, Penn State quarterback, Trace McSorley. Trace McSorley, Trace McSorley, Trace McSorley. Remember the name. He's going to be do a pretty good job this season, I think. Unanimous first team All-American when it comes to names. The guy's name is absolutely unbelievable. Credit to Mr. and Mrs. McSorley for naming their kid that. For naming their kid Trace. As far as the football side of Trace, he's a known winner. He's known as a winner. However, as Greg McElroy of ESPN says, anyone can win with Saquon Barkley. And to his credit, he did. He won a Big Ten championship and was really, really competitive the two other years. There, one or two other years he was with Saquon in Happy Valley. Yes, congrats to Trace in that respect. However, he has yet to win on his own. Trace has a lot to prove this season in a loaded Big Ten Eastern Division, but I think under the guidance of James Franklin, he can pull off a solid season. Fourth and long, the Nittany Lions, whatever the heck that is. Can someone look up what a Nittany Lion is for me and just tell me what that is? Because I have no idea. It's like a mountain lion or something. I don't know. Their mascot is super ugly too, by the way. They should probably revamp that. The Nittany Lions have some holes to fill on the defense side of the ball. Their task was finding two new defensive tackles and also need to fill a hole at inside linebacker. Ellis Brooks is likely the candidate to play inside. However, don't be surprised if you see opposing offenses running the ball straight at him, given that he is only a redshirt freshman. Schedule-wise, wins over Appalachian State, Pittsburgh, Kent State, Illinois, Ohio State, Indiana, Rutgers, Iowa, and Maryland. Losses against Michigan State, Michigan, and Wisconsin. 6-3 in the Big Ten, 9-3 overall for the Nittany Lions. Next, we'll head to Columbus, Ohio, and Ohio State University. Thank God JT Barrett is finally gone. After 10 years of eligibility at Ohio State, JT Barrett is finally gone. He's finally expired, finally ran out of eligibility. And as an opposing fan, I cannot begin to tell you how amazing it feels not to see number 16 in the backfield this season. With that being said, first and goal. The Buckeyes still have Dwayne Haskins. The age of the dual threat quarterback at Ohio State is not over, but it is perhaps on hold for a season with Dwayne Haskins running the offense. Dwayne gives the Buckeyes a more pro-style approach, but he actually can run it as well. He's just listed as more of a pro-style quarterback, which would be an interesting mix to an Ohio State offense that has been running at least a variation of the spread since I was 8 years old, back in the Terrell Pryor days when they were still winning like 11, 12 games a year. Jeez, unbelievable. And behind Dwayne Haskins, by the way, my guy, Tate Martell from Bishop Gorman High School out in Las Vegas. What an absolute certified beauty this guy is. I mean, there's a Netflix documentary on him called like QB1 beyond like the lights or something, and it's tremendous. I encourage you to go look at it. It's with Tate Martell, who's number two quarterback at Ohio State right now. Jake Fromm, who is currently, in my opinion, the starting quarterback at Georgia. And another kid, a kid who's playing quarterback at Wake Forest right now. I can't remember the name of. I'll see if I remember. I'm going to remember it like right when I'm done shooting or recording. So, oh well. Anyway, really good documentary series. Check it out. So Tate Martell is behind Dwayne Haskins. So even if Dwayne gets hurt, you have the absolute stud, Tate Martell, coming in right after. So, yeah, cool. Good for the Buckeyes. Great. Fourth and long. Up until about 3 days ago, I was convinced that Urban Meyer was done. I was convinced this whole situation, which I'm not going to get into. If you don't know, hit pause and Google like Urban Meyer, Ohio State, blah, blah, blah. I honestly thought this was the last straw, especially because he's been on administrative leave for however long. But recently, I've put some thought into the situation. I will say this. At the moment, at 3:56 on Wednesday, August the 22nd, I am about 70-30 in favor of him not returning to the program. However, I will not be surprised if he is allowed to come back under the umbrella of something like a 4, 5, or 6-game suspension. Anytime your football program is without a head coach, it's a problem. So that's fourth and long. And they do not have their head football coach. So whoever they have filling in, I can't remember the guy's name, but I'm sure he'll do a great job. But that's Urban Meyer's fourth and long, because he is. I mean, he's a difference maker on the sidelines. So not him not being there is a pretty big deal. Schedule-wise, wins over Oregon State, Rutgers, TCU, Tulane, Indiana, Minnesota, Purdue, Nebraska, Maryland, and Michigan in the last week of the season in the game. Losses against Penn State and Michigan State, which puts them at 7-2 in the Big Ten and 10-2 overall, which could mean the Buckeyes do not play in the Big Ten championship, which would be awesome. Finally. Next, we'll head just up the road. East Lansing, Michigan, Michigan State University. First and goal, Brian Lewerke. Spartans quarterback Brian Lewerke brings a skill set to East Lansing that hasn't been there possibly ever. I'm not really in tune with who they've had at quarterback before, 2012. They've had Kirk Cousins, but he is not Brian Lewerke. Brian Lewerke is a completely different quarterback. So he's not going to be a Kirk Cousins 2.0. Brian can use his feet. He brings a whole new dynamic to the offense, and I'm very, very excited to see how it plays out for him. And especially in an offense that returns 10 starters from a year ago, from the 35th ranked offense in the nation. Whew. Sheesh, watch out, Big Ten East. Lewerke's coming. Spartans are coming. Fourth and long. I struggled to find a weakness in the Michigan State Spartans. Well, I was doing my research, because defensively, they too return 9 of 11 starters from a defense that ranked 7 in the country last season, even though they lost Notre Dame by 20. And like week 3, that was pretty cool. And on special teams, place kicker Matt Coughlin was a solid 15 for 19 last season. So here it is, the Achilles heel for the Spartans in 2018. Hear me out. It is Mark D'Antonio's 13th season as head coach of the Michigan State Spartans. And 13, as we all know, is an unlucky number. So therefore, he cannot win a national title. In fact, yeah, In fact, if Michigan State does win a national title this season, I'll give everyone who listens to this episode $13. So, I mean, if you're a believer in State, I think I only know one. Two. Scanlon. Yep. Coach Scanlon, Michigan State alum, and Rich. $13 for you if Michigan State wins. There you go. So keep believing in your boys. I personally don't think they can win a national championship. So if you're listening here, tell your friends $13 if Michigan State wins a national championship just for listening to the episode. And even if you don't believe in the Spartans, it still doesn't hurt to tell your friends, family, or really anyone at all that you like the pod, and you can listen to the pod on every platform imaginable, including Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Apple Podcasts. Anywhere at all. So just plug the podcast, $13 in your pocket if the Spartans get the job done in January. Schedule-wise, wins over Utah State, Arizona State, Indiana, Central Michigan, Northwestern, Penn State, Purdue, Maryland, Ohio State, Nebraska, and Rutgers. One sole loss to Michigan. 8-1 in the Big Ten, 11-1 overall for the Spartans. Next, we'll go to crosstown rivals of the Spartans. Ann Arbor, Michigan. University of Michigan. Shout out RKC Marketing, as well as Chris Fitzpatrick, guys out in San Luis Obispo. Listening since day one means a lot. Thanks, guys. Back to football, though. Jim Harbaugh. I was not a fan of Jimmy H when he came in, what is now 4 years ago. I was not big on him when he was with the 49ers, partially because I just don't like the 49ers at all. But anyway, when he strolled into Ann Arbor with his khaki pants, I was not too excited. And as oftentimes I do, I have grown to like him. I've stopped eating chicken because it's a nervous bird, with the exception of Chick-fil-A. Shout out to my guy Andrew, by the way. But he's always working the drive-thru. Hit him up at Chick-fil-A by Westtown. Anyway, that was a long segue to this. Jim Harbaugh is sitting firmly on the hot seat this season. If he doesn't make it happen for the Wolverines this season, I wouldn't be surprised if good old Jimmy finds himself on the way out. Good news for Jimmy, though. He's got first and goal. He's got Shea Patterson. The Ole Miss transfer sensation, Shea Patterson, is now, as of what is yesterday or 2 days ago, the starting quarterback for the University of Michigan. Dude is an absolute stud, and that's really kind of something the Michigan Wolverines have lacked for a while now, is a very strong quarterback. Last year they shuffled between Okorn and Wilton Spade, who's now at UCLA, and even Brandon Peters. And I actually thought Brandon Peters played well last year, so I thought they were going to be okay this year anyway, even without Patterson. Patterson is just a bonus. Last season, in seven games, he threw 17 touchdown passes for the Rebels before getting injured. And I expect more of the same this season in Ann Arbor. Fourth and long. With Patterson coming in so late to the party, there is reasons for concern when it comes to chemistry with the offensive line, as well as talented receivers such as Donovan Peoples-Jones and Tariq Black. So we'll see how that kind of plays out in the first week, especially with an opener against Notre Dame, which it's College Game Day is going to be there. September 1st, going to be a fun game to watch. Schedule-wise, wins over Western Michigan, Southern Methodist University, Nebraska, Northwestern, Maryland, a big win over Wisconsin at home or in Ann Arbor, October 8th. Anyone's got tickets to that game, it'd be really plug of you to hit me up. Be like, I got tickets, Brooks, anything for the pod. Big win over Michigan State as well, Penn State, Rutgers, Indiana. Then losses against, guess what? Losses against Notre Dame first week in South Bend, and a loss at Ohio State, which puts them at 8-1 in the Big Ten and 10-2 overall. All right, last team for the week, Madison, Wisconsin. the team that almost all of you have been waiting to hear me talk about for like five weeks now, maybe, doing all these previews at conferences, but you really only cared about Wisconsin. And here we are, UW, University of Wisconsin-Madison. First and goal. The offense as a whole returns 10 of 11 starters. Jonathan Taylor was an absolute monster last season, and I cannot wait to see what he can do this season behind the undisputed best offensive line in the entire country this season. Watch out for number 23 running all over Camp Randall this fall. This stuff going on with Danny Davis and Quintez Cephas, wide receivers 1 and 2 for the Badgers. But I think they can get through the first few without Danny, and whenever Quintez finds his way back, that can only make the Badgers better. And adding to that, in addition to Taylor, the Badgers also have junior quarterback Alex Moneybags Hornibrook back for his third season under center for the Cardinal and White. Alex played very, very, very well in the Orange Bowl win over Miami to end last season. And he really looks to build on his success from that game into 2018. And I'm not saying he has to play like Orange Bowl Alex Hornibrook and all what is probably going to be 13 games this season, at least for the Badgers, because that is a horribly unrealistic expectation. If you're a Badger fan right now and you're like, Alex Hornibrook's going to play like that against like Purdue, and it's just not going to happen, and you don't need it to happen. He just needs to play decent in those games. And I think if Alex Hornibrook can be Orange Bowl Alex Hornibrook in 5 of the Badgers' 12 regular season games and play like he did in the Orange Bowl in that Big Ten championship game, the Badgers will have a terrific season and what I think can potentially be a college football playoff season for the Badgers. Fourth and long, defense and place kicking. Second-year defensive coordinator Jim Leonard, which he actually seems like a really good guy. I'm glad he's with the Badgers and not with somebody else, because that would kind of force me to like that other team, kind of. So I'm glad he's with the Badgers. Jim Leonard has to fill massive holes on defense left by 8 starters that left the program or that are no longer with the program due to graduation and other things. This includes both cornerback positions. However, we still do have my guy Dakota Dixon out there at safety, so he should fill some of the holes at fill in for some of the inexperience at cornerback with just him as a safety net back there, and then at place kicking on special teams, place kicker. There is a giant hole, a 250 pound at least hole. Left in the kicking game because everyone's favorite kicker, Rafael Gaglianone, is unfortunately out for the rest of the season with a right leg injury. This leaves either redshirt freshman walk-on from Monona Grove, Colin Larsh, or redshirt junior walk-on from Fond du Lac, Zach Hinsky, or Hinsey. To do the place kicking, which is obviously a big letdown from Gaglianone, who's a career 80% field goal kicker. So hopefully the games aren't close enough for that where that really matters. So I don't expect a whole lot of them to be other than Penn State or Michigan. So I don't think it'll be a huge deal, but it is still a gap. Schedule wise, wins over Western Kentucky on September or August 31st. I believe that game's at like 8 p.m. That's going to be a fun one. I'm excited going to it. Going to be awesome to have football back. New Mexico, Brigham Young University, Iowa, Nebraska, Illinois, Northwestern, Rutgers, at Penn State, Purdue, and bring it home the axe again against Minnesota. I do see, however, the Badgers won a regular season loss at Michigan on November 8th or October 8th. Again, anyone, anything about tickets that are under like $200, just hit me up. I'll take nosebleeds. I'll take anything, really. It's just I really want to go to that game. So if you could plug, that'd be awesome. 8-1 in the Big Ten for the Badgers, 11-1 overall, which means Big Ten West champions for the Wisconsin Badgers. I'm calling it right now. It's obviously not a hot take, but Big Ten West champions for sure for the Badgers this season. All right, that concludes Big Ten preview week, Big Ten week. I'm excited for next week because, well, first of all, I get my little bit, my little fix of college football this weekend on Saturday for sure. There's probably a game going on in Australia, which would be cool to watch. And we'll get the week zero going. That's going to be a good time. Really excited for that. And then next week, starting, I think like Thursday night, there's games. We'll go Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. For those, that might be a game Monday. I don't know. I have to go to school on Monday though. I'm not excited for that. Oh well. Next week is prediction week. We'll have Heisman, Coach of the Year, championships for all the conferences, college football playoff, yeah. So that's going to be really fun. Also, guest star Regan Clowder, who's been listening since day one and has just been talking my ear off about coming on and how awful my predictions are, or blah 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 blah. So we'll have him on the pod for prediction week. So look forward to that. Look forward to prediction week, and look forward to an awesome college football season. Cheers. Wants to see you fall. Baby, it's no fun. So no, it's just